feelings. Welcome to Feel Feelings with Danny and George, the show that talks about feelings and the things that make you feel them.
Hey, George.
Hello. Hold on. I'm sending a picture. I'm doing an all call. Whoa. Hey, I'm tired, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tired from doing 200 episodes?
It's a factor.
we've done, more than 200. This is just the 200th week-to-week Monday episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is I am still surprised how few days off that we have taken for this show. That
we've like banked and done all that stuff. We haven't missed a week.
We missed Christmas like the first year.
Did we?
Yeah, because I remember posting like, "Hey, we are off on Christmas. We'll be back next week." I think we missed one.
Then this is in our 200th episode. Bye, everybody.
No, it is.
No, I think it still is, actually. I think my count was off. We might have hit 200 like a week ago.
That's fine. This is now our 200th. Don't look back at the...
We've never been more 200 than we are right now. So we've done it before, but I figured this was an apt reason to bring back the open house. So we sent the link out to friends, family, past guests, past enemies. We've put it out to everybody, and we're just going to let people come in as they come in, and we will chat with them. It will not be anything planned. We cannot be prepared for this in any way.
No.
But starting now, I'm hitting admit all, and we will see who's in the waiting room.
We have people.
We have people right away. People gung-ho, ready to jump
in
here.
Wow.
Who do we have? Let's see. Silas
P.
Let's see. Who else is here? Zoe. What's up, Zoe?
Can you not hear me? Oh, I'm not.
There you are.
There you are. Hey.
What's up, friends?
Hello. How are you?
Recent friend of the show. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Silas.
Thank you for
anything
for joining us. Still waiting for Silas to say hello.
Wow.
Is Silas' real name Sean?
Yes.
Blow up a spot.
Or it's not.
Oh.
What do you have to say for that, Silas?
Shyless. What's up, Stylus?
Nothing. Anyway.
What's up, Chrysalis?
So I was thinking for this, that hopefully we have a lot of people coming and going, but my thought to propel it forward throughout the show would be to pick random feelings as people come in and make them answer for it.
Yeah, I like that.
So let's see. Zoe, since you're here and actually participating, no thanks to the other two in the room.
Yeah, we didn't even mention a third person.
As soon as they're unmuted, I'll introduce them. I'm trying to read the space here. I don't know if we're just here to watch, which is also fine, but what the hell? It says...
What does it say?
Sean asked us to give him permission to unmute, and I did not know that I wasn't giving him permission to unmute.
Ask
Let's see.
To unmute? Is that
allow participants to unmute themselves is on. Okay. Everybody should be unmutable. We are off to a roaring start.
I love this so very much.
I can ask Sean to unmute.
Unmute me? I like this better.
The silence that we're basking in right now is very confusing to me. Zoe's unmuted, right?
I can unmute and mute myself.
What's wrong with the other two? What are you guys doing?
Y'all the hosts.
We didn't plan this.
So Zoe, while I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
What makes you feel inspired?
I didn't know I was participating.
Now you are.
Inspired. Doing yoga.
Yoga's good. Ooh. I can't touch my toes. I like tree and I like corpse. Those are my two favorite yoga poses.
Corpse is a good one.
Corpse is great. Huge fan of corpse. Dan, any yoga knowledge? Do you know what corpse pose is?
Is that just when you lay down?
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. With your eyes closed.
Yeah. Quick cat nap.
Sorry, this is confusing me. Hold on.
I love how much we're going to have to cut out of this episode because we can't.
I was planning on no edit.
No, you have to do so many edits.
Nope, came in muted. What the hell?
Hey!
Whoa!
Oh, yeah. Now you have to get rid of the other one. Second time was a charm. Okay.
On my phone.
So maybe that's the solution. I have no idea. Anyway, Amanda, hi.
Hey, what's up? I haven't really talked to you since I left our job.
Yeah, we used to be coworkers.
2 years Ooh. Ago.
We used to be friends.
We used to be friends, yeah.
George, well, you would like this. We met years ago at my cousin's graduation party because we both like the music that you like.
Hey, I like that music too.
It was a bonding experience that I think I've bailed on.
Do you mean like the starting line?
That was part of it.
Part of it, yeah. Like, it started with the Beatles.
Beatles are good. I actually have zero Beatles records.
Really?
Yeah. They seemed expensive.
All mine were just from my mom. She had them from when she was a kid.
You had a cool mom. Don't let him back into the room.
Let's see. We may have the return. Did it work?
Maybe.
Hey!
Oh, Silas, what's up?
Silas made it.
Oh, you bastards. You bastards.
Sorry, go back to you.
Go back to Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
So we've decided that as people come and go from the meeting here, and my dog's throwing whatever she can find around, my idea is to give everybody a random emotion from a long list of emotions. What makes you feel triumphant, Amanda?
Triumphant? Not much recently, but triumphant. I don't know. I guess like when I know something about like sports that surprises a man.
Always, I mean, good to surprise.
You've become very in on the fantasy football world, I've noticed. So I'm sure that comes up a lot in your life now.
Yeah, I don't lose fantasy football. I've been playing for a whole whopping 3 years and I've always won fantasy football.
And, yeah, I've had a good string of luck in my other league, which we may be hearing from some of those people as we go. But I'm about to enter the finals in this one league that I have given no shit about all year. My quarterback, Russell Wilson, who
I know him.
Oh yeah,
he notoriously got benched. So going into the championship game, my quarterback, who I've barely relied on all year, is benched.
You got.
I'm not even
going
to try
Howell
to find
now.
A replacement.
You should. It's a Sam Howell.
I just.
Oh, he's taken.
Who's the sports pundit man that looks a bit like Jesus?
He doesn't look a thing like Jesus.
No, he does look a
but
bit
he
like Jesus.
He talks
like a gentleman.
He doesn't talk. He yells all the time, and I just watched him. Like, I agree with him. All the takes were good, but he was so mad at Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, he's very easy to be mad at.
He's super easy to be mad at, and he was just going off on him. And I was like, I think if you don't get to play for your team, you don't get to be talked about in sports time talk shows.
Yeah, there's
fair?
Plenty to talk about in, like, outside of sports life with Aaron Rodgers, but if it's sports talk.
Oh, no, it was a lot of, like, outside of life as well as sports talk, but he just wound up screaming and he looks like Jesus. I think it's called Pardon My Take. And he's got like shoulder length long hair and a bit of a goatee.
I'm aware of the show. I still have no idea who you're talking about.
He's the guy. He's the guy from that show. And he
hates Aaron. So many men screaming about sports that I just don't. I
and
can't
Amanda, it seems as if it's far too many female or femme presenting people yelling about sports. If you would be so inclined, have the floor, yell about some sports.
What do you want me to yell about? I could,
you know, what's feelings on Mike McDaniel?
I love Mike McDaniel.
Teed up, George. You have no idea.
He's my number one guy. If I wasn't born and raised in the Philadelphia area, I would be like on the Dolphins train significantly more because of him.
Same.
Not anyone to yell at. Who I could yell at is probably whatever our coaching staff's doing. I could yell about that.
I think friend of the show, Betty Smithsonian, was on some other podcast, which is strange because she doesn't do podcasts.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, but she was hollering about how like they are so awful to watch. I've never seen a winning team that I've enjoyed watching maybe three times this season.
Oh, I don't think I could even give them that much.
It's been absolutely like teeth pulling, devastating.
It's so incredibly frustrating to watch a good team or a winning team be this bad because you also don't get to talk about it because everybody else is like, my team's just bad and they're losing. It's like, yeah, I get that. But like, it shouldn't be this annoying.
My uncle tried to pick a fight with me at Christmas after the game because he's a Giants fan. And I was like, yeah, it's been really rough watching this season. He was like, no, you guys win all the time. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Stop.
Barely.
Yeah, it's been a struggle literally every time. So get out of here. Yeah. I don't want to hear it.
Let's move over to our friend Silas, not Sean. Silas, what's your emotion? I don't think we talked to you about an emotion just yet.
Hey, Sean, Silas.
Yeah, I thought you guys were gonna.
Good.
Yeah. What's my emotion? I thought you were gonna sell me one.
Oh, I was gonna go trepidatious.
Okay, so that's like when you trep a lot, like there's a bunch of like strings and you just keep trepping over them. Is that what trepidatious is? Or
yes, exactly. 100%.
Give me a dictionary definition of trepidatious.
Oh, we have to do dictionary, like, man.
That's like you have like temerity, right? That you are not sure of yourself.
I would have said like timid.
Timid. Okay. Well, temerity is the same thing as timid, you piece of shit. I would say what makes me feel trepidatious is knowing that you can have a hand in creating something for the last, let's say, 10 years as part of a bigger like 14-year place, and then someone wants to make a little extra money and they can take that away from you. That kind of makes me feel trepidatious that we are never going to be in charge of the spaces that we occupy.
What makes you
because you're selling the break room. Because the person who owns the building, they're not selling the break room. They are selling the building and they're not selling it because Scooter tried to buy it. They are renting out to a highest bidder the empty vessel, the husk, that would be the grape room because they're trying to squeeze every single possible blood penny that they possibly can out of my hard work when I have signed up so many comics who have done beautiful 3 to 5 minute sets in the last 10 years.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, Silas, you seem mad.
No, I'm trepidatious.
Oh, okay.
yes.
If anything, George, I'm trepidatious.
It's feeling a way about a thing that might happen. It might definitely happen.
I'll give it to like mid-March. We'll see.
Dan, can you do me a favor? I just need an emotion in order to get someone in the room.
Any emotion?
Yep, pick one.
Do I need to cater it to a person?
No, nope.
Because I catered trepidatious to Sean, obviously.
that is bad.
They
lethargic.
Lethargic. Thank you. Cool. We'll see if they come.
Sean, what's your take on Mike McDaniel?
Yeah, what's your take on Mike McDaniel?
I love Mike McDaniel.
Let's welcome back to Talking Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, this is our Mike McDaniel episode.
Welcome to Mike McTalk McMichaels.
is that one of your shows?
I did not like him at first because I thought he was a little cutesy. But like clearly he's gotten results and reminded me a lot of like Nick Sirianni early in Philly. It was a joke and all when he said like the flowers thing and Mike McDaniel's thing was kind of, you know, it seemed like a joke, but you know, you can't argue with results. I don't root for the Dolphins, but you know, he's a hard guy to root against.
He's good. He seems fun. I'd hang out with him at a party. Zoe.
Any vapes?
Well, there's Zoe, any opinions on Mike McDaniel? Just so we can
I don't
do
know
a
who that is. I don't know about sports.
If I'm being fully honest, his name is so generic that if I didn't just watch that game over the weekend, I would have forgotten who we were talking about.
I as someone that was raised by a stepfather whose name is legitimately John Rogers, I would say Mike McDaniel.
That could be anybody.
Yeah, Mike McDaniel is the most generic name possible. My mother went from Cindy Bruderman. There's a history, there's a past, there's a culture there. From Cindy Frank, there's a generic, but you know, there's an E at the end, so it's different. To Ooh. Cindy Rogers, State Farm Insurance. Yeah.
She had to get back to basics.
She's just getting progressively beige-er. I love you, Mom. Oh, no, what?
This is off topic. I'm starting the Saw movie series tonight. How do we Ooh. Rate it? Never seen Saw.
Okay. I like the first one because I think it's funny that Carrie Elves is in it.
I'll take it.
Yep. Oh, Dan, you've muted yourself while walking around trying to catch a dog.
Yep.
Thoughts on the Saw series? Carrie Elves? Because that's my highlight. Oh,
Elvis. I liked the first one because it still accepted that it was like camp a bit. And then after that, it was like, no, we have a real point to make. And
no, there's lore.
I don't think I need you to make a point.
Yeah. Isn't Chris Rock in one now?
Spiral. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he shows up
Spiral,
in like
a Saw story.
the lore building series where they were like, let's see what's going on. A little bit down the street.
Yeah, that was after they wrapped up the Saw series proper and they were done with it, except for, you know, no horror series is ever done. But Chris Rock was like, I have a brilliant idea. And they were like, we don't even need to hear it. Go ahead and make it.
You're Chris Rock. Yeah. Now, horror movies need to, like, I love a horror movie with, like, one movie. Just leave it alone. Unless you count Jaws, because I like all the Jaws's for different reasons.
Oh, drastically different reasons. One, high quality. After that, high camp.
Yes.
I love watching 3 because of all the parts that were supposed to be in 3D, but I don't have that on my television.
I love
it. So there's like highly digitized, like
I love
organs
footage.
Are flying at the screen and then they just disappear.
I think I heard Silas trying to come in. Silas.
Yeah, the best Jaws clearly is the one with Michael Caine because he plays someone named Hoagie and he missed getting his Academy Award because he was playing someone named Hoagie filming that Jaws movie.
And I think we've talked about it on the show too, where he has been quoted to say, like, I have never seen the film Jaws. Before, but I have seen the house that it bought, so therefore I like Jaws.
That makes it a high quality film.
That's why I like it because it bought Michael Caine's house.
Yeah, and good, Michael Caine.
He's got to live somewhere.
I don't think you can talk about Michael Caine without involuntarily, like your body just emerges from your body like a chuckle or a burp. It's just Michael Caine.
Yeah, all of a sudden we're on the trip. Also,
Yeah.
You know,
we,
those movies.
Are we alienating? Are we alienating Zoe and Amanda for just throwing references?
No, I'm watching TV.
That's
my favorite.
Oh God.
My favorite Michael Caine movie is Austin Powers 3: Goldmember.
It's a good one. Michael Caine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was when I found out who he was. I didn't know who he was before that.
And then she shat on a turtle.
Yeah, Beyonce is in that one.
Foxy
Cleopatra.
Foxy Cleopatra, yes.
thanks, Zoe.
She was funny as shit. I thought she did great. I watched those movies during the pandemic when I was like spiraling, and I was very impressed by Beyonce.
Did it help?
Oh, no, it helped immensely.
It numbed the pain for a bit.
I feel like Goldmember especially is one of those where it's like, I think I feel worse now.
No, really? I mean, I like it. I don't know how to describe it, but I feel like there's a certain nostalgia for that specific comedy of the early 2000s in Goldmember specifically, where it was highly catered because it was a sequel.
Yeah. I also think you can't, it's not that you can't make those movies anymore, but I have not seen that kind of humor. And I know they tried to do it with that Netflix show with Mike Myers.
Oh, the Pentaveret.
And people were like, oh, it sucked. And I was like, I mean, it has its place from the clips that I saw. I didn't get to watch it, but like that humor has a place in the world. I feel like it should be kicking around there.
Yeah, I think that one's problem was that Mike Myers only played like 5 people and not everybody.
Yeah.
I need him to play every single person, even if it's racially uncomfortable.
Sure. I feel like also each Austin Powers film has a moment that is, I can't even describe what kind of humor it is, but like in Goldmember specifically, I think the funniest scene in that movie is the Nathan Lane cameo where she's just speaking through Nathan Lane.
Oh yeah, Beyonce.
Hey. Using this cat as a distraction.
I do love those gags because like they're so specific to spy movies, but at the time that they were coming out, there weren't really that type of movie to be parodied. Mm-hmm. They were like 30 years too late to parody the things that they were parodying.
Well, I think what worked so well was that the parody, like it was already, all those James Bond movies were super camp and weird and problematic in general. And we were already making fun of them.
No, it's very true. I kind of want to go back and watch all the James Bond ones. I want to like start from the beginning and go.
I tried that and I made it to 3 of them and then and stopped for no reason.
Show us
the dog. There's my dog.
Show us the dog.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen your dog.
There she is.
Aww.
She sees herself now, too, and is confused.
How do you keep such a small thing inside the basket? Fantastic. I'm so glad that we talked Matt McDaniel. We've talked Austin Powers.
I want to get back to the Saw viewing.
Oh yes.
Have we wrapped up other series, or are we like starting viewing Saw as like, all right, I'm doing all these things, I'm starting with Saw. It's the question.
Literally just starting Saw because my brother told me I'd like it. I'm on winter break from school right now.
Cool.
I got nothing but time. I was watching like history of animation documentaries and I was like, I think I need a little bit something more stimulating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I need people to get consequences for their actions.
I need people to die. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you get bored, if you hate Saw, friends in the room, what are some other movies in the Saw world? You know, genre wise, that would be stimulating for Zoe.
I mean, like Final Destination.
That's the one I want to do.
Is that not like a similar? Because those people don't deserve any of that. the Saw people do, but those people on Final Destination do not deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they kind of do a little bit.
Yeah, they're young, and I hate that. Also, I was when
they're
I was
still
a
young,
kid.
That's their fault.
Yep, and they're young, and that's why they need to die. What was it? The third one? Is it the roller coaster one?
I'd get them all mixed up. I watched the first three in pretty quick succession, but they were the only three that were out. So I don't know what's in what.
I think
that.
Three was the roller coaster one, and Zoe, you would like that one because probably on YouTube. They had a special DVD feature on the DVD where like you could control parts of the universe. So
oh my
like
God.
The movie
really?
Would yes, stop.
That was so good. Yeah. I remember that.
The movie would stop. And so like, not to spoil anything, but there is a death scene inside.
There's a death scene in Final Destination.
There's a Final Destination death scene, but inside like a tanning booth. And it's like the popular, like, oh my
oh,
God,
is that three?
Girls. Yeah, that's three. Pretty sure it's three. And it would like stop the movie right before they died. And you could like change their fate. They would still die, but the death would be different. And it was like this little bonus feature that you could get.
I miss DVD features.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. There was a thing on Pluto for a while that would just have like the one channel would be like all the special features from Superman 2 or whatever. Like it was my favorite channel.
That's great.
Pluto's the best streaming service. No one talks about it.
Yo, oh yeah, Pluto's.
Yes, they show Andy Griffith and Three's Company and Degrassi like back to back to back. It's amazing.
Oh yeah, like the fact that there's just an Addams Family channel where it's like I don't always want to watch the Addams Family, but I like knowing that I can
it,
always
Dan
watch
Getz,
it.
But Dan Getz is watching it.
Pluto was made for like, Dan Getz.
I don't want to watch it.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, my favorite for the longest time. There was a channel that was literally just Superman 2. And I would watch it all the time. It was like a constant viewing. And it has become my favorite movie. Like, easily, nothing else can beat it. Superman 2 is so
Wait,
fun.
Who's the villain in Superman 2? That's not Gene Hackman, is it?
He's still in it, but that's where you get Zod and the other two.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
And like, they try to manipulate everything, and Gene Hackman thinks that he's in charge of all this stuff, but instead he's also being manipulated, and it's Superman gives up his powers for like 20 minutes because he's in love, but then he realizes that he has to be Superman, so
he's
while
like,
he's still in love he's still in love and gets to go do all the shit that he was gonna do when he was in love, but now he has his powers again. So it's like, all right, I'm glad to know that he would give up his powers,
Superman
but he doesn't have
too.
To.
I am
Why
horny.
Did he do it?
He was horny.
Yeah, it's basically it boils.
There's
down
also
to that.
More than one scene in that movie where it's very clearly just a dummy being thrown. So like the bad guys are like, "Oh shit, Superman's here! He's outside!" And then they cut to the brick wall that is like the interior wall to the outside. And it's just a dummy being thrown through like a fake brick wall. It's so good.
Is two or three the one where he flies so fast to reverse time? Which is such a dude thought. Like, clearly a dude wrote the script and went, no, he flies around the opposite way of the earth. And that turns the earth the opposite direction and therefore goes back in time.
Yeah, it wouldn't murder everyone on the planet.
No, not at all.
It just turn back time. Give us another go at this.
Can you play?
But that's what happens.
Can you play Turn Back Time at this point? Do we have a soundboard or no? Because you're sitting downstairs.
Yeah, I'm in Studio B, which is defending my house.
Let me get this best shot. I'll do all our own sound drops today.
Oh,
okay,
beautiful.
You ready? You ready?
Yes.
If I can turn back time,
are you wearing the outfit
too?
If I can
find a way. Yeah. No,
yeah,
I look
want
good.
The sailor outfit.
I'll look good. I remember all those sailors. Speaking of horny, remember those sailors in that video? They were looking at even at that point, like a 50-year-old Cher, and was like, yes. And they were right.
It doesn't get better.
Cher's hot.
She's
I mean,
iconic.
She had a long, long stretch of being like way hotter than she should be. Like, for somebody that no one's paying attention to, I feel like you shouldn't be that hot.
Yeah.
I saw her in 2019 and I was pretty far away, but at the same time, you know, she was hot.
Is that the Abattoir?
It was not the Abattoir. It was before that. She was with Niles, what's his face? The guy who does all the guitar and the iconic disco songs.
Oh, Rogers.
Oh.
Yeah, Nile Rogers, yeah.
Yeah. That guy, it's not that he bothers me. It's that it's purely like a music thing. His action, which just means like the height between the fretboard and the strings, for those listening that don't know, is so high that he must like have the strongest fucking, like, if you look at a picture of Nile Rodgers playing guitar, the strings are so far off the fretboard to get that like spanky disco tone that it looks like it could cut your finger off. Like it looks like an apparatus that cuts cheeses into slices. And that's how he sets up his guitar.
Is that a thing that everybody has to do now? Because, like, I mean, he is the disco sound. So is that like,
no, you just turn compression up.
If you want to get the sound that he created,
you just get a compression pedal. But like, because of how he's just learned how to play guitar with a guitar that looks like a bow from a bow and arrow, because it's pulled so angularly weird. I'm sorry, this is very
well. Sonny T plays bass backward. He so
does. Yeah, and so yeah, does,
I don't know who that one is.
Mono, it's all the sound. Yeah, it's just a sound thing, right? Like,
yeah, it's all preference, but I also, like, a part of me loves that anyone can do anything, and like, it's a free use instrument, develop how you want it. Like, I had a friend growing up that didn't know how to tune his guitar, so every song had to change every time he played his guitar because it would slowly morph out of tune. So he would just like to have to change his fingers. And that was interesting because it was just like, anyone can do this. However, there are rules.
Well, there's a saxophone player. I'm sorry. I just think that there's a saxophone player that, like, he was born, or I mean, he has cerebral palsy, or he was born with something. And like, I don't know. My husband is like huge into music and was a saxophone player and everything else. But his specific sound, because of, you know, his disability, is like completely different and really, really cool. And I just think it's like very interesting how we can like warp music that way.
Oh yeah, 100%. I love that. But also it bothers me. I agree with you, but when I see it, my immediate thought is no. And then I have to remind myself that, no, this is a beautiful thing and no one is wrong and everything is good.
Everything is okay.
Everything is okay. And this is on you, George. But initially it is, no, Julia, you're wrong. it's all wrong. I mean, like,
so you play music. Name? What's the weird thing you do?
What's the weird thing I do? I got weird thumbs. Hold on. I'll get a guitar pick to show you. Have one on my desk.
I was so hoping, like, it would be something that I could understand.
So like,
yeah, weird thumbs.
Yeah, I got weird thumbs. Like, so like, this is how you would hold a guitar pick normally, but because of my weird thumbs, I hold it like that, and it's just crazy hitchhiker's thumb.
It's and just what, hyper. It's you're hypermobile.
Yeah. Which makes me sound like a superhero, but really my hand just hurts after a while.
Well, yeah, it like causes arthritis and shit, right?
Yeah, I got it in this one, which is where I, you know, noodle around on this side. And then on this one, both thumbs are fucking weird.
Damn.
Like, yeah, I mailed a real angry letter. Got mad at a stamp.
I mean, if anybody deserved it, that's stamp.
Yeah, you should have read the letter.
Fucking hate stamps.
They're the Nile Rodgers of mailing. Silas, you love music. Any weird things that you hate about music?
Well, I was going to say, I've been practicing and learning the keyboard the last couple of years, and my fingering is not the same like twice on any song. Like, I know where it should be, and it never will be that. And I know, like, you know, all my teachers have taught me, like, that's fine. But like, even when like I play something like back to back, it's never the same. And I'm just like, why don't I do it the same way twice? it's just like, okay, well, and then it feels better. I can never like settle on anything. So that's my own thing with music, is that I like to make it, but I don't like thinking about how it's made or how I make it.
Okay, I get that. So it sounds like you don't like playing music.
No, at all. It's torture and it's a hellscape. And I do it for no one but myself.
That was like when I started doing a lot of running. A lot of people were reaching out and like, oh, this is how you stay motivated to say this. And some person, actually friend of the show, but I won't name names, said something very helpful. But I say it to myself to stay motivated, not believing any of it. But it's like, reframe the thought of it as you get to run this many more miles instead I only have to run this many more miles. It is incredibly helpful, but I hate it.
If you live every second of your life like, at least I'm not dead, it's still kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I will tell you, go ahead, George.
No, I was going to say, like, if you reframe it as I get to do this, it's not at least I get, at least I'm not dead. It's like, I get to run two more miles and see if I can. I only have to run two more miles so I can stop. It does help with the mental flip. However, I'm lying to myself every time. It hasn't become an actual state of mind for me yet. It is.
So, George, what is your like running like do you have like goals, like parameters? Do you try to do like this many like miles a week or anything or what?
I have like a thing set where I'll run, I think it's 10 to 15.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Over like the course of like 3 days or something.
Yeah.
However, that's really good. I think the end goal, I'd like to do a half marathon, but I ran 8 miles the other day and my nipple hurt, so that's out the window. Just the one.
I'm not going to accommodate. I'm going to quit.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I'll do a 5K. I want to be the fastest person in the 5K.
So, I walked the dog a 5K the other day and I didn't know that it was the 5K. I was just like, I'm just going to walk the dog. And I got home and I said how far I went. And Meg's sister was like, that's a 5K. And I was like, oh shit. I guess I do 5Ks.
Yeah, it's 3.1 blankety blank.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I did like 3.3.
What they don't tell you is that all of those races, you can just walk. You can just walk. Yeah. Nobody's stopping you.
You're only racing yourself.
Many years ago, I did a full marathon because I'm an idiot. Hmm. And I did the full marathon because I'd been running. And I was like, I can do this. And the whole thing was like telling me like, you get to do this. My like motivation was I have to do this. I have to because I signed up and like I can't not do this.
Yeah, and I spent the money because apparently you have to spend money to run a marathon. It's running.
Yeah, that's the thing that would put it over for me. Like I'm not cheap, but if I'm spending the money.
And I also at the starting point, I offered the girl like $20 just to give me the medal. And she was like, you don't have it, and I can't do that. So I was like, all right, fine. Guess I'm fucking run 26.2. It's fine.
This is awful. How far is the Broad Street run?
10.
That's 10 miles?
Yeah.
All right.
Isn't it like 10.1?
Yeah. It's like 10.1, yeah.
Fucking kilometers.
But I don't know. My husband signed up for the Love Run and then never did it, and then we still got the t-shirt. So
yeah,
I went.
You can just do that. Yeah. Yeah, you can just do that now.
There is one in Asbury Park that Casey did when she was running, and I might do it this year, just to, you know, so we both get the t-shirt. However, they desperately need a marketing team because the t-shirts are just a picture of Tilly, which is like the evil clown of Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And then it just says Runapalooza in the Joker Man font, and that is it. That is the whole shirt. It almost circles back around to being great.
That is the kind of thing that if I saw it at a thrift store, I would probably get it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I love that shirt.
Yeah, it's. I want it. It just needs like something added to it to just make it. Yeah, no, this is a great shirt, but it's just like they made it on Word. It feels like they made the shirt on Word. Dan, you have experience in making shirts.
What do you think is the worst thing to have the clown on it?
My arm.
Can't argue with that.
Clearly, it's the evil-looking Tilly on my arm. Look how haunting that is.
We got more guests.
Yeah, give them a feeling.
All right, let's see. Oh, Seamus came in muted. Uh-oh. Oh, good.
Good luck, Seamus.
Seamus, welcome.
Hey, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt.
No,
What's up?
When everybody else was coming in, they were unable to unmute, so I panicked for a second. we're starting every new person off with a random emotion. So, what makes you feel jovial?
Oh, that's a good one.
Jovial. I think jovial is just another like synonym for happy.
Yeah, it's like excessive happy.
It's jolly happy.
Jolly happy. Oh, what makes me feel jolly? Jovial. I have no fucking idea. That's really depressing. Jesus
Welcome
Christ.
Welcome to the show.
You should know by now the default answer is my wife. If you can't think of an answer
that's
for
true.
Happy, you just go, my wife. My wedding
that's
day
true.
Was the best day of my life. My wife makes me happier great. Than anything.
my sister, Seamus, my sister over the holiday weekend that we just had she is the only person I think ever to listen to every single episode of Feel Feelings, and she commended you on you and your mom's first dance of just waving.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, we just waved. Actually, you know what? Thinking about the wedding day makes me feel jovial. That was a great day.
It's a great.
I agree. The number of weddings I've been to, especially lately, George's included, yours made me feel so great.
It's pretty fun. Top that, Dan.
I won't.
Hey, not to interrupt, Seamus, but I gotta hop out of here because I'm jumping on the pool game.
Have fun.
Guys, this has been the best Feel Feelings I've ever been a part of. Thank you.
I think he's only this like his third.
Okay, well, it's still the best, all right?
Bye, Silas.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
He needs to leave.
So I want to jump back over to Zoe and her Saw watch.
Yeah, Zoe's watching Saw, keeping us posted on things. Zoe, old man in a tub, how we feeling?
Okay, so first of all, this is on Pluto. No surprise there.
What are the commercials? It's like COPD.
Yes, the commercials. I'm still like in the first few scenes. But I like these businessmen dripping. I think the scariest thing about this movie is how dirty everything is.
Yeah. That really sets a tone, especially when it's a bathtub where you're like, I don't think anybody washed in that thing.
At all. It just gives me the creepy crawlies.
Ooh. And that like built a whole series.
I like how this, I think I'm going to go deep into the Saw series. I like that behind all this fucked up stuff is a guy in a mask, a weird mask.
Yeah. He just wants to play games. What's the big deal?
I just watched a very fun clip of, what is the name of that show? It's like a Dropout TV show. And it's basically improv as a game show. And it's Jigsaw trying to do a game but didn't do any of the planning, so it's just like him with the voice changer going, oh, in the room there's a box, and it's like, there's no box in here. Oh.
Well, then
that would be me. Yeah. As Jigsaw,
you know, sometimes just kill the person. Yeah. It feels easier.
Here's a game. You're dead.
Bye. Yeah. I'll keep us posted on the Saw front, Zoe. Come back to us if you see anything incredible. The business guy that's dripping. Is that Carrie Ells? I have to remember how quickly he turns up in the movie.
I think it is, right?
Okay. So
I think.
Zoe, have you ever seen The Princess Bride?
No.
Okay, so the other movie that he's in is like a children's fairy tale that adults like, and then he didn't do a bunch of shit for years. And Liar Liar, he is in Liar Liar. So it's that, a Jim Carrey vehicle, and then Saw.
He had to get his check.
Yeah. 100%. Like, rent was due.
Yeah. I mean, he hadn't been in anything for like a while before Saw came out. And then it was just like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Speaking of that guy, any news on Mike McDaniel? Let's circle back to that. Are we still into Mike McDaniel? Seamus is new. Seamus, feelings on Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel
as a,
thoughts.
As a diehard Eagles fan.
I'm sorry, the cat's going crazy. Get back to me a second.
I love this show so much. I love someone popping off of mute and hearing rare.
I mean, it's wild that I haven't heard the same here. My dog doesn't enjoy that I'm not paying attention to her. She's been home all day, so she's just trying to get into everything.
She's got a lot of big feelings.
She also doesn't like the rain, so she won't let me put her outside.
How hard is it raining?
Oh, it's coming down.
Yeah, not here.
Lucky.
Stayed away.
She keeps going to the door like she's going to go out. But we all know the truth.
Yeah. That was like during that crazy hurricane, like 2 or 3 years ago, where it was like September 1st, and it was a stupid amount of rain that a bunch of things flooded. I think that's when 76 flooded.
Where it was like an actual river?
Yeah, yeah. During that time, like, Iggy had to go out, but we were trying to reason with him that, like, you won't get in trouble if you piss on the floor. Like, we understand this is what you need to do, that they should take its course, but we can't take you outside. And he just wouldn't get it, so he was just whining. And then we would like show him outside and he'd see it was raining, and then he'd be like, I get it's raining, but I have to go out there. Which led to me walking around during the middle of a hurricane trying to get my dog to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, and Bert will go out on a walk. She will happily make me have to deal with it also.
Dogs are stupid.
Yeah.
Everyone in the chat, dogs or cats? What are we thinking?
Cats.
Cats?
Cats, 100%.
Okay. Zoe, cats, dogs?
Cats.
Cats. And then obviously Seamus is a cat person.
No, I have a cat. I'm going dogs.
It's like, I like dogs. I've been burdened with a cat.
We inherited this cat. This cat was not a choice. I'm very happy she's here, but she's fucking annoying as shit. So dogs all the way.
I mean, she's definitely become a much nicer cat in the last couple of years.
I can say the same thing about your Meg's cat. Well, let's change the subject. Meg's cat.
Yeah, come on.
Meg's cat's vicious.
My dog wants water now. I can tell because she brought me her bowl. I'll be right back.
That's cute, though.
It's cute and annoying because if I don't get to it right away, she throws it around the room.
My cat's been doing this new thing where she wakes me up at like 7 a.m., which is fine. I usually get up pretty early, but I'm like, oh, you want me to feed you? But it's not that she wants me to feed her. I'll feed her and then I'll go back to lay down. She'll still yup me out me. She just wants me to get up so she can sit in my space.
Well, evolutionarily, that is because cats don't sleep in spurts or sleep in long. They sleep in spurts, so they don't sleep in like long 7 hours. And they're like, what's wrong? Why are you asleep?
So really, oh, this is just like those songs.
No, I heard that too. I'm fine with her waking me up to check if I'm still alive or whatever the hell, but it seems very disrespectful that she just wants my spot. It's just like, move. I can't get comfortable anywhere else in the house. I need the spot of the bed that you were on. That's how it feels now.
I love the idea of the cat. Like, I'm concerned, please get up. But also where you were was warm. Cat people in the chat, have you ever listened to the artist John K. Samson or the band The Weaker Thans?
No.
Okay. I recommend you going out and finding the songs about the cat named Vertute. The singer and principal songwriter of the band wrote a series of songs taking place from the perspective of a cat watching its alcoholic owner not do well for themselves. And it's the same mentality of like, hey, you're sleeping for 7 hours, what's happening? But
that's
instead
so
it's
sad.
Like, yeah, but instead it's like, yo, you're drinking a lot and I know you're better than this. It'll break your heart, but it's so good. I recommend it to everyone. It's my little thing, and I'm like, hey, you need to feel a little sad motion? There you go. Listen to these four songs written from the perspective of a cat.
I feel like that's what cats would do, because cats do, like, it. They bring a sort of joy to your life where, like, they're always silently judging you, but it's almost only to just get better, to do better for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that sentimentality. I think Pete Holmes said it best, that, like, a dog would love you, but a dog would love a bag of sticks with your t-shirt on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Zoe left. Bye. Bye, Zoe.
Bye, Zoe.
I hope she doesn't get too scared.
Did she just get sawed? Is that what happened?
She just got sawed. No, thoroughly recommend it. It's great. Great. It's like, I think it's like three songs from the perspective of the cat and then one song from the owner in a recovery center. And it's great.
The cat got its way again. Of course it did.
Well, no, the cat, I don't want to spoil it.
Oh, no.
It's beautiful. It's written in such a beautiful way. It's like Last Christmas. It's a sad song, but it ends happy.
Yeah, it ends with hope.
It ends with hope.
I feel like anyone thinks that way about Last Christmas. I think that
we were just talking about it on the last episode. Dan said those exact words. He feels that way. Yell at him.
We just did it on Blanket and Covers, and I have heard so many versions of that song now, and none of them feel hopeful. There were oh, God.
I was just going to say, I just remember when, I guess, George Michael died on Christmas. It was probably my mother's funniest drunken moment, that she was so upset about it.
What's number two?
Number two, the funniest drunken moment?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Probably this past Christmas when I was screaming at the TV because the Eagles... I don't know.
Go Birds. It's disappointing. Seamus, how's your mom doing with the Eagles now?
She's pretty upset, I think. She just had a surgery though, so she's kind of distracted. But
That's fair.
It's been a rough season, I think. It doesn't feel like a confident like we're doing well on the books, but it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the clinched playoff spot doesn't make me feel any better about it.
Yeah.
Like normally when you get that so quickly, it's like, oh, okay, we're good. We got this.
I have some Eagles update for the Eagles fans in the chat right now. So I don't know how my stepfather got this. I have no clue, but he gave it to me for Christmas.
Never mind.
You know, it's a version of the Kelly Green jersey. However, it's the one from like 2012.
Oh, I don't remember them doing it.
Yeah. And
is it some like bootleg shit?
It doesn't feel very good. But I needed a jersey because I don't have a jersey. And I was like, hell yeah, absolutely. He definitely found it in a closet somewhere. I don't know how he got it, but it is for Jeremy Maclin. For some reason,
sure. That's a name.
Like we were living in South Jersey, so he must have gotten it around there, around the time that he was an Eagle. But at the same time, like I wasn't a big football person during that time, and Britton Covey's number is the same, so it's almost like as long as I keep a hood over the part that says Maclin, people just think I'm a Britton Covey fan.
God. Of course you'd get a Britton Covey jersey.
I like kickers. I like kickers and I like getters and runners.
I like specialists.
I like specialists.
I have an old Kelly Green one. It was a Randall Cunningham jersey. And I still feel very proud to have it.
That is cool. That's like me and my fire, my lighthouse keeper jerseys for the Islanders.
Oh, I want one of those so bad.
I have two. I have a original vintage one from 1996.
Did you get one of the new ones?
I got one of the newer ones during the pandemic. I got my stimulus check and bought a fisherman jersey.
Those white ones, like the ones that had like more white accent on them.
Uh-huh.
I loved those.
Hey, you want to come to an Islanders game with me, Dan? And we could wear our Fisherman jerseys.
I gave up on the Flyers like 2 years ago, even though now I'm like fully back
Flyers
in.
Flyers are doing great. I'm
fully back in because they're being managed in a way that's actually fun and hopeful and not abysmal and disgusting. So it's easy to get back on board now.
I have an issue because of John Tortorella, because I always associate him with the Rangers because
with
of
a
that
miserable failure, except for, well, I guess he won a lot.
Yeah, but remember we had that HBO series about the Rangers and Flyers?
Oh, the 24/7? Yeah. When, what was it, Brizgalov was outed as a weirdo?
Yeah. He was all like Space Tigers or whatever.
Yeah. Everybody was like, yeah, we know.
Like, oh. We were all about what? It. We ate that shit up. You're like, okay.
And then he lost his mind for real.
I was, for the holiday season, listening to Merry Christmas, like Christmas Present from Phil Spector, like that album. And I kept on having to tell my wife that that like, oh, it's a great record. He is an asshole. He did kill his wife, but he's what a great album.
I kept doing the same thing on the way out to my uncle's house. We were listening to XPN, and they were playing, you know, a couple songs from it. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, that's neat. You know, a staple of the season, whatever. And then after like the third song of it, they stopped playing music. And for the next 15 minutes, talked about the life of Phil Spector.
Meh.
As if it was like somebody whose praises we should all be joining in on singing.
Yeah, no, once you kill your wife, we don't sing your praises.
Yeah, it's a bad look.
Don't kill your wife.
They were like, and this album really wasn't a success when it came out, but thanks to, you know, repackaging and a lot of people getting on board and, you know, the right people saying the right things, it was able to make a comeback. And it's like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, but also it's Phil Spector.
You know who I think has a valid opinion about this?
Oh, is it our next guest?
Our newest person in the room is John Traynor, everybody.
John Traynor!
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, dude?
What number is this?
200.
Wow, congratulations. Happy 200th episode.
That's like as many songs as you have to listen to on your show.
Yeah.
Each week?
Yeah.
How
was
last Christmas?
We were just talking about the last Christmas episode, yeah.
Are you kidding me? I loved it. I live this every year, so this is just another year for me.
Yeah.
Last Christmas, my favorite Christmas song, at least today.
It was mine a long time ago.
It was before, it was during the show, and it continues to be after.
That's incredible. That's incredible resiliency.
Show, I will say that.
Why don't we pop around the room real quick? What's everyone's favorite Christmas song while we have everybody here? We got Last Christmas. Seamus, Amanda, thoughts?
My new favorite is Backdoor Santa. Great song.
Oh, I love it. It's such a good song.
That's a good one.
I like The Night Santa Went Crazy by Weird
Al. Oh, Weird Al. Yeah.
It's a good one. That's fun.
That's a good
fun
one, too.
Damn. That Weird Al album, every time I hear it, I'm shocked that it's still like perfect in my head. That, like, I don't miss a word. Like, I haven't like actively listened to it since I was in middle school, but like it started coming on random, just like track here and track there, and I was like, oh, I got this. This is cool. My favorite one this year was what's it called? Wizard.
Oh yeah, you love the Wizard one.
That Wizard song. And like the snowman brings the snow. I don't think anyone's ever thought that before.
Yeah, no. And I don't think that's how weather
thought.
Works.
I don't think anybody educated
you need,
him.
You need the snow to make the snowman. The snowman cannot bring the snow. It's a chicken or the egg situation.
Yeah.
The snowman doesn't appear with the snow. The snow falls from the sky. Pieces of the snowman fall from the sky. Then you build the snowman.
Yeah.
And you put a hat on him.
Pretty Purple Snowflakes,
around.
Like that other song that it's climbing my list of Christmas songs, the Marvin Gaye Purple Snowflakes. It's just
That's a
sexy
too.
Christmas song.
Sexy Christmas is fun.
There's so many good ones. What's your favorite, George?
So currently this year, and not because of the passing of Shane McGowan, but I do love Fairy Tale of New York. I think Fairy Tale of New York is kind of a delightful Christmas song. Because it blends the sadness and the joy of Christmas. Although we were driving around for the holiday, I did not realize how important it was to my wife's family. Her grandma was obsessed with Dominic the Donkey.
I hate that song.
Yeah,
I hate that song
we
so much.
We talked about it last week. She hates it. It is such a huge part. I have a video of her and her cousins dancing.
Hee-haw, hee-haw.
Dancing around and everything, but a redemption for this song. I really think you should check it out. Just like kind of drive through it. The Jason Kelsey version of Dominic the Donkey is like a very cool indie song.
I believe you, but I
don't the whole album, right, Dan?
Yeah. Well, no, like
you love certain... that album.
It's a good album, man.
I've only listened to the first one. I haven't listened to the second one past the Fairy Tale of South Philly.
Yeah. No, the second one, they do Dominic the Donkey, but it's done by the producer is the drummer of The War on Drugs.
Yes.
And it's like very, it's a lot of synth. It's a lot of like weird sort of sound effects. Like they're playing with a Casio tone that like Lane Johnson wee snawed into. And so that's the donkey noise. But it's really good. And then not a Christmas song, but also a great standout on that record. I love that John Traynor shows up when I get to talk about music. The all of a sudden the song comes on and it's got like a Bo Diddley beat and I'm like, ooh, what is this? Like cool.
We're still talking about the Eagles.
We're still talking about the Eagles. It's got this Bo Diddley beat and it's got this crazy ethereal delay guitar that's sort of just like ricocheting off the song in every which way. And it's the fucking dreidel song and the dreidel song on the record.
Oh, I did hear that one.
So good.
Yeah. That was so their first day of Hanukkah special release.
Yeah,
that's awesome. There needs to be more like non-Adam Sandler based Hanukkah music. This is it's a real bummer because my kids celebrate both and they're just like, especially this year where it doesn't overlap at all. So it's so much earlier.
Yeah. You would have had like, two full experiences. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, where's the, all the fun Hanukkah music running? It just doesn't exist. Sorry.
That's a shame.
I didn't know about the Eagles linemen. If I knew about that, I would have pulled it up.
And it's just them. It's most of the linemen and a couple other players. And then Howie Roseman, he's the manager, owner,
the GM,
manager,
yeah.
GM. He's the general manager of really? the Philadelphia Eagles.
Amazing.
And he, and it's just them like gang vocaling the hook to the dreidel song over this Bo Diddley beat. It's crazy.
I
love think
that.
Even then, though, the fact that that's the song they did, it's like, what's the other choice? There's only one option for like a Hanukkah song.
Yeah. Sharon Jones did one. I forget what it's called. It's pretty good, but it's just, you know, it's not like traditional, you know what I mean? Like it hasn't risen to like,
it's like the Dave Grohl 8 Days of Hanukkah thing where he's like, he's just highlighting Jewish artists, but none of them are traditionally Jewish songs. Like,
yeah,
you have the Yentl soundtrack and that's really it. Like, hey, that's the only
Fiddler,
like,
on the Roof, excuse
yeah,
me.
Fiddler on the Roof, but those are show tunes. They don't count.
No, they really don't.
Yeah, no, like, you guys are never doing a show tunes episode of Blanketed Covers.
Oh, bite your tongue.
I bet Dan has a
pen. it is being prepared.
I'm not really a show tunes guy, so I don't know if I'd pull for it, but I could be convinced. This could be my in for show
the
tunes.
Things I've done, we're doing show two.
Please don't.
I can't say no
to
anything.
One.
Yeah.
I was actually gonna talk to our mutual friend of the show, Tori, to see if she would do that one.
Oh, she would definitely do that one. She is currently out touring, either touring or doing Jersey Boys in Wisconsin right now.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah, we talked a little bit about it at your wedding. Yeah. And then I just haven't followed up yet, but yeah.
Yeah. Dennis keeps texting me, her fiance. He's like, do you guys want to hang out?
Oh, so he's still stuck here.
Yeah. He works
he
for,
get the
I don't know if I can,
Wisconsin.
I can't, I don't know if I can tell where he works. I'll leave that anonymous. He works for a sport network. So he has to be on call for, especially for some certain games that are coming up soon. he's got to be local, but he pops out when he can. But yeah, she gets to do all this cool shit. I think when they started dating, she was doing the national tour of Rent.
Wow.
Pretty
impressive. Is she a singer?
Yeah, singer, actress, looks just like Marissa Tomei. It's scary.
you know, like the scariest.
The scariest actress of all time.
Doesn't sound that scary, but
she's great. Love her to death.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Jameis, Amanda, anything to say about future episode? Anything to say about show tunes? Favorite show tunes?
I used to really love Rent, but Rent is actually a terrible storyline.
Well, yeah, none of them are good people.
None of them are good people.
Even the bad guys are like, you can't like flip it and be like, oh, this is all just a misunderstanding. Like, everybody is a bad person.
It's just a really bad story, and I never realized it. It was just really good music, I guess.
They kill a dog.
Right.
They just straight up kill a dog at one point.
Well, no, they kill a dog, and then they're like, oh, you can live here rent-free, but everyone's like, no, I won't live here rent-free. I demand, I don't know what they demand, because they're, I don't know, I'm sorry. I have
this recap brought to you by
Amanda, please come on the show. I don't think I know Rent. Rent, it's La Boheme, but with painful assholes.
I don't know.
I remember.
What's La Boheme?
It's the opera that's based on Rent.
Okay.
Well,
it's not
even Ben. So if you wanted a musical that was more based on La Boheme, you'd watch Moulin Rouge,
I love it. I adore that movie.
Number one. And actually, the musical came out and I haven't seen it, but I kind of want to. It looks really good.
Yeah, it came through too, and I didn't get to go. I was kind of bummed about that because everything I've heard about it is that, like, the songs they add to kind of modernize it a little bit are all like excellent choices and not like the pandering kind of thing you'd expect from that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because it started as pandering, right? You have all these like Nirvana songs and Madonna songs like meshed into one. And then like, it's actually a good movie and it's turning out to be a good musical apparently. So, hey.
That rules. I like that.
Seamus, musicals, go.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on musicals, Seamus?
I like Les Mis. I don't know.
I was supposed to go see that with my with my parents. That was a gift that Meg and I got from my parents before the pandemic. And it just kept getting bumped back and bumped back and bumped back and bumped back and then canceled. And I never saw it.
Damn.
I saw the movie where no one can seemingly sing. That was
fun. It's like La La Land, but La La Land, they do it well.
Yeah.
They sing poorly well in La La Land.
There was this whole thing where I guess in that Percy Jackson and the Olympian show on Disney Plus, a famous
Are you
Broadway
telling me you actually watched that?
No, I watched a clip of it because someone on TikTok was like, I swear to God, if this man starts singing, I'm gonna lose my mind and turn this show off. Spoiler alert, if anyone out there listening, just hit the fast forward button. Turns out Hermes, the god, is played by Lin-Manuel Miranda, and he like starts humming to himself in the elevator, and the person behind the camera goes, don't do it.
Stop it.
Does he rap a whole backstory?
I hope so. And the clip ended before he could do it.
They had to just shut off the camera because he was trying.
I hope he took a deep breath and slid past the elevator like he was about to, and then it just rolls credits.
You know, if that was his life from now on, I would become a fan again. Like, that's such a fun bit to be like, I'm exactly who you thought I was. Bye.
Show tunes. I loved the movie Birdcage. So when I found out that it was based off of a musical, I was like, no, this is the musical for me. But that didn't help the gay rumors in high school.
I didn't know it was based off a musical.
Yeah, La Cage aux Folles, which is French for the Birdcage. It's great.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
I got to see it on Broadway, where it was Douglas Hodge playing like the Nathan Lane character, and Kelsey Grammer playing the Robin Williams character, and it was great. And then I got to tell. Actually, you know what? No, I didn't get a chance to. He got cornered. I went to a cider mill in Connecticut with my now wife, and Kelsey Grammer happened to be there. And we were all like, I want to tell him how much I loved him in La Cage aux Folles. And everyone was just like, we loved you in Sideshow Bob and Frasier. It was so good. It was so good.
I loved you in that time you fell off stage.
It was so good.
expertly done.
Did he love that?
I have fallen.
He seemed like he was like clearly there with his daughter, who I guess lives locally, and he was just like, yeah, no, of course. He's trying to be like the nice celebrity guy.
George, do you remember the bit we were trying to come up with when we used to record in my old apartment and we were stuck watching that Kelsey Grammer commercial over and over
and over? Yeah, Kelsey Grammer did like a commercial for like the Anti-Violence League. Good league to be a part of.
Yeah, it was like his sister
never seen
was
the pro-violence like league.
A victim of some sort of...
He was a victim of violent crime.
Attack. Yeah.
And so it was like a bill that they wanted passed in the state of Pennsylvania. He's not from here, but he is like an advocate for this bill, and had these very serious, like sincere, he's acting as that. It was in this same sort of vein as, do you guys remember the John Voight commercials after Trump lost? It was a lot like that. That was the acting for it. They like took the same page out of that acting book and were like, this is the tone that we're setting. They were bummed about it. Well, John Voight was clearly reading off of cue cards and he blamed liberals on Satan. He was like, yes,
Red.
Satan. But
the
just
guy
like
from Anaconda thinks Satan did this.
No, Satan did Anaconda. You know how many famous celebrities were killed by a snake you only saw for 5 minutes?
Ice Cube and Jennifer Lopez.
They live.
Do they? I never saw it.
Yeah, Jennifer Lopez lives. Ice Cube, I believe Ice Cube lives. Owen Wilson dies.
Owen Wilson dies, right?
Yeah, he gets crushed.
I believe I've seen that death scene at least.
And they all watch him get crushed.
His is like depressing, right?
Yeah, well, they're all like, oh my God, how can we help him? And John Voight's
yeah,
like,
yeah, that's
can't.
Okay. Yeah, I've definitely seen that one.
You can't help him because John Voight's Paraguayan in this movie for some reason.
John Voight, who... John and I have talked about on our show because his brother did a song that we did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
John Voight's brother did
Chip Taylor.
What
song it was. He did
his
Wild
Angel
Thing,
of the Morning.
Was it Angel of the Morning?
Yeah.
I was on that episode. I cannot listen to that song anymore.
Yeah. He did Wild Thing and I guess Angel of the Morning. And he probably has more money than John Voight from those two songs alone.
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe.
Right on. Well, does anyone have anything further to say? I think we should get out of here. This seems like a fun little party that we had. Everyone's just taking turns, sitting on the couch, chit-chatting. This is the kind of party you want in your 30s.
Yeah, and I mean, this is coming out on my birthday, which is also
Happy
New Year's
birthday.
Day. Which is
Happy
why
birthday,
we are phoning this episode in and calling it a party.
Yeah,
Happy 200th birthday, Dan.
Happy 200th birthday.
Happy birthday.
I wanted to add to the Kelsey Grammer thing. I only have streaming television, so like when you have that, you get the same ads for every commercial break. But the Kelsey Grammer one was basically the same ad, but there were three different versions of it. So the bit that we were pitching, because each one was like longer and more specific, that like every time the commercial started, we just were doing the Kelsey Grammer voice, but talking about things that were more specific to the things in the room. That like Kelsey Grammer was watching you and judging you for not getting on board, and he's starting to call out the specific things that we were talking about so that you would know he was watching and meant business.
Kelsey Grammer, what a guy. Oh man, that is a good bit. I love a bit.
But yes, this is our 200th episode. Thank you everybody for joining us. Sean and Zoe for stopping in.
Yeah.
And Andy Lane for somehow not being able to figure it out, even though he got the same text message that worked for Seamus and Silas.
Always good to hear from you, Andy Lane. How's the neck?
It's ever present or not present. I forget how that goes. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
But you know, it does matter. 200 episodes of sharing feelings and talking with people. This show started before the pandemic. And I make sure to mention that every time. We are not a pandemic
podcast.
We're trying. We did this shit before it was cool.
Just barely.
But I have been in reflection since we've been brought up about the 200 episodes, and I think this show has made me more in touch with my emotions and more emotionally intelligent. So, Dan, thank you for a lovely 200 episodes and sharing this with me. It was your idea, and you were like, I think George could do it, and all I have done is interrupt people for 200 episodes, and I appreciate that.
It wouldn't have worked had you not.
Yeah, because they would have just been... probably Seamus.
Yeah. Shout out to Jack Fitzsimmons for having that one show where I met you and went, he could do this.
Yeah, I could do that.
Otherwise, this show would have just died in my brain after 3 years of thinking about it. So we did it. We're here, 200. We're not done.
We're not done yet.
Eventually.
But eventually we will
this
do a final.
This has to end, right?
Yeah, but we will do another episode. It'll be the last episode, and we'll go about as well as this one did. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for stopping by. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great week, and we love
Bye.
You.
Happy Bye. New Year.
Feel Feelings is a Wasted Robot production. Editing done by Dan Getz. Music by George Bruderman. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at FeelFeelingsPod, and even leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/FeelFeelings. If you're ever feeling any heavy emotions and feel like there's nowhere to turn to, please don't hesitate to reach out to us or to any of the resources in the show notes. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation from the Wasted Robot Network. For more information and links to other shows, please visit www.wastedrobotrecords.com/podcasts.
Lord, such a professional show!